May I speak to the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I almost feel like I shouldn't do anything now because Rebecca did brilliant. Thank you very much for your speech, talk. We're at the beginning of the season of autumn. Ben's wearing his autumn jumper. Thank you very much. The earth has begun to turn away from the sun until December the 21st. I mark that in my diary. The days will be getting shorter and the nights longer. And some of you will know that I'm not very good in hot weather. So I'm usually glad at this time of the year for the cooler, fresher weather. But the darker evenings do depress me somewhat. Yet this isn't a season to bemoan. Autumn is traditionally a time of great celebration and thanksgiving. And many cultures celebrate, give thanks for the harvest. For example, the Jewish festival of Sukkot, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, occurs at the beginning of October. And this festival celebrates God's hand in providing a multitude of gifts, as we heard in the first reading. Also commemorates God's guidance and support while the Israelites wandered in the desert. It's a time when Jews build and decorate a sukkah or small shelter where they eat their meals. As tradition suggests, this is to help the farmer avoid the temptation to gloat, saying, I yielded this great harvest. Mind you, I think farmers do work really hard, so, you know, I think they're allowed to gloat a bit. The modesty of the sukkah is meant to be a reminder, even today, that in spite of our hard work and earning potential, God alone bestows the blessings in our lives. God provides us with what we need and is the source of everything. Since the beginning of time, every religion and culture has celebrated abundance by thanking God. Abundance often leads to expressions of gratitude, of thanksgiving to God. Gratitude being a reaction reminding us that we are blessed and feel happy about our situation or circumstances. The problem is that we all know feeling abundance, gratitude, and generosity is not always easy. Sometimes we are in painful places in our lives and unable to see beyond the pain. Other times we get so preoccupied in day-to-day events that we lose sight of the small blessings with which each life is filled. Still other moments we want something so much, something that seems unattainable, we are left feeling poor and lacking rather than abundant. There's a saying I found that expresses it well. It's a pity we can't forget our troubles the same way we forget our blessings. It's so easy to forget how lucky, how well off we are in this benefice. But let's for a moment remind ourselves that we are part of one human race, one world. And when you shrink the world's population down to only 100 people, you start to get an idea of just how unequal the world is. Now, this was something that was done in 2016, and I know a lot of the figures have been contested, but it still challenges you, it still makes you think. It was in a video showing how the global population would be broken down if it consisted of only 100 people. And using data from a variety of sources, being a retired librarian, I checked where they got their data from, the video shows how the global population is divided up based on gender, age, religion, and region. And when the world is broken down to only 100 people, there are an equal number of men and women. The majority of people, 60%, live in Asia. And most people are aged between 25 and 54. Christianity is the dominant religion. 31 people identify with the faith. There will be 23 Muslims, 15 Hindus, and 7 Buddhists. 16 people are unaffiliated with any religion. But it's when the video turns to the level of global inequality that the figures start to look really shocking. More than 70% earn $10 or less a day, while 15% make less than $2 a day. And one person earns more than $90 a day, and this same person controls 50% of the wealth. Basics such as education, shelter, and clean water are unequally shared. More than 1 in 10 people are unable to read and write, don't have access to clean water or shelter, and are malnourished or starving. Higher education is a privilege experienced by a minority, and only 7 of the 100 people attended college. And the video concludes with an important question. If the world were 100 people, would we all fight harder for equality? So with all that in mind, let us look at today's gospel reading of the parable of the labourers in the vineyard. This lengthy parable is found only in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus tells the parable in response to Peter's question, "We've left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Peter wanted to know what reward would be given to those who gave up everything to follow Jesus. In response, Jesus explains this truth about the kingdom of heaven. Planting, maintaining, and harvesting vineyards in first century Israel was strenuous work requiring hard physical labour in the heat of summer. Often additional labours were required to get all the work done. The owner of this particular vineyard went to the marketplace at the first hour of the morning, 6 a.m, to find workers for the day. He offered wage of 1 denarius, a Roman soldier's pay for a day. It was generous indeed. The workers in the first group were more than happy to work for the generous wage. And as the day progressed and more workers were hired, the specific wage wasn't mentioned, but the landowner promised to pay whatever is right. Apparently, the workers were sufficiently confident of the landowner's character that they trusted him at his word. And altogether, 4 groups of workers were hired, the last group just 1 hour before the end of the day. And when the time came for the wages to be paid, the first group of workers saw the last group being paid a denarius and were naturally thinking that they would be paid more since they'd worked the longest. Their anger against the landowner spilled forth when they saw they would all be paid the same, even though they got exactly what they agreed upon when they were hired. The landowner was forced to defend his actions to the first group, even though he had dealt with them in perfect fairness according to the contract. The landowner, whose decision to pay all the workers the same was an act of mercy, not injustice, I think represents, as Jesus said, God, whose grace and mercy are shared abundantly upon those of his choosing. For he says to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." It doesn't therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. In the matter of salvation, his grace and mercy are given to those whose self-righteous works could never obtain it. We are all sinful and fall short of the glory of God, but his grace is sufficient to redeem all who believe. Whether God calls someone early or late in life to partake of his grace, the glory and praise for our salvation is his and his alone, and in no way amounts to unfairness. Just as the landowner has a right to do what he wishes with his own money, so does God have the right to have mercy on whom he will have mercy. The first group of workers in the vineyard resented receiving the same wage as the last group. Their attitude was similar to that of the Pharisees, who were incensed at Jesus' teaching that others could inherit a heavenly kingdom they thought was reserved for them alone. They despised Jesus for offering the kingdom to poor, oppressed, weak sinners, whom he made equal to them. In verse 15, the landowner asked, Is your eye evil because I am good? The evil eye was a Hebrew expression referring to jealousy and envy. God's goodness and mercy produced in the self-righteous Pharisees the evil eye of envy. The rest of the workers received their wages without complaint or envy of others. In the same way, as Christians, we should rejoice when others come to the Saviour, as we should rejoice in the service others render to him. He is faithful to reward us for our service, as he has promised. And how he rewards others should be of no consequence to us, nor should it affect our devotion to him. The message in verse 16, the last will be first and the first last, is that no matter how long or how hard a believer works during his lifetime, the reward of eternal life will be the same given to all, an eternity of bliss in heaven in the presence of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The thief on the cross, whose life of service was limited to a moment of repentance and confession of faith in Christ, received the same reward of eternal life as the Apostle Paul. Of course, Scripture also teaches that there are different rewards in heaven for different services, but the ultimate reward of eternal life will be achieved by all equally. This is a challenge for us as Christians to live a Christian life, and especially a challenge for us today in our UK society, which, let's face it, is far from equal. Social justice is something that is integral to my faith as a Christian, and it's been great that today we've been here giving thanks for the harvest that we've heard from Rebecca all about the Bridge Centre. I would say that one of the basic tenets of a Christian, not least a decent society, which we still profess to be in this country, is to at least provide a decent roof over everybody's head. I don't think we're doing that at the moment, are we, this country? I do remember my Auntie Jean, who I've mentioned before in a previous sermon, who was a missionary in India, and she used to come back every 4 or 5 years. This was the 60s and 70s. And she noticed how more and more materialistic we had got each time. And in one of her sermons, she said that she, in India, she had a roof over her head, she knew where a next meal was coming from, and she had a change of clothes. And she said, in that society, I am rich. I think maybe we ought to remember that and think about things like that. And I'm going to finish with a quote from the Bridge's website. Everybody that visits the Bridge Homelessness to Hope has a different experience, but there is one common theme which runs through every story. They feel valued, cared for, and loved. And I think that sums up God's love for us whenever in our life we come to faith. Amen.